Amen. Well, welcome today to Bethel International Church for our Sunday gathering. We're thrilled that you could be here. And at this time, the children can go to their classes, their lesson downstairs, can meet with their teacher at this time, teachers, and are so encouraged by those who have gotten involved in the kids' ministry and are helping along teach kids about Jesus. If you're here, welcome this morning for the first time. We would love to get to know you, welcome you, and we'd love to hear from you. So we do have a QR code, and anybody and everybody can link through that. If you have a device or phone that has Wi-Fi, we have free Wi-Fi as well, which takes you to our bulletin, our digital bulletin. You can let us know any prayer requests. You can give online. You can follow along in our sermon notes and things like that. Get involved in a life group. Check out our life groups. Make sure you find out if you're looking to get involved. Talk to Pastor Rajan at the back. He'd love to connect you with one of the groups or any one of our leaders to do that. Different activities that take place. I believe I heard there was a great hike that went on yesterday. So you can go get outdoors, have some fun, and connect and get to know people as well. There might be some prayer walks this summer as well. And today, after the service, we'd love for you to stay. We're having a potluck downstairs and around the back. We decided to keep it local here, localized, instead of head to the park, just for logistics. But enjoy the outdoors. It's a beautiful day. And the food that you have each contributed. So make sure you stick around for that. And there'll be some instructions after the service for that. Before we head into the Word, just want to acknowledge and take a moment for our offering today, and we want to give thanks to God for what He's done for us and His provisions, and how it is a privilege to give and serve God through our giving what He's given us to further His kingdom through His ministry through the church. And so there's different ways you can do that. We, of course, as usual, have our offering envelopes at our giving box and our ushers. If you need one, you just put your hand up and they will get you one. And then on your way out today, you can leave your offering with us that way. Of course, many of you, we can do e-transfer. That is the simplest way digitally through Donate at Bethel in Vancouver. And also, we do have it on our online through our website. So thank you for your giving and serving God in this way. And we want to worship Him through that giving as well. So let's head into the Word at this time. I'm going to invite us to turn to Genesis chapter 13 today. Genesis chapter 13 today. Today is the last Sunday I'll be preaching for a while, it just continues to be a privilege to be able to do that, and trust that this will be an encouraging word today. Starting next week, you'll get to also hear the word preached through Pastor Rayner and some of our other staff, Pastor Rajan and one of our interns, Dryden. A ministry intern who's studying at Regent, and of course other guest speakers that come along. So you'll be encouraged by them as well throughout the months. But today I want to just conclude with this series called The Journey of Destiny. And we've talked about how the journey of destiny is a journey of faith, and faith is exercised through patience, as we heard last week. Sometimes the journey of destiny is slow. Sometimes the journey of our destiny, as we talked about in the first message, is passing through the valley of weeping. And God can use that valley of weeping or valley of Baca as a place by which we are strengthened, and it becomes a place of refreshing and spring. So every part of the journey, we recognize God's hand in it. And last week we introduced the example of Abraham as an example of faith in Scripture, that we read about. And we're going to continue on in some of his journey with Sarai and his family, how God called them to a new land and promised that he's going to build a nation through him and through the generations and a land that he would give them. And of course, we know through the story of Scripture that is Israel. And through Israel, God would be Israel was to be a light to the nations to show and reveal God. And through that, Jesus came. And so this is a bit of where we're looking at. But the Abram and his family and his children and then their children, you see what I really appreciate about his scripture is they don't gloss over some of the mistakes and some of the difficulties that they had. And just like we do, they also face different conflicts in their lives. Conflicts of survival, conflicts of people with people, conflicts in different situations. And so we're going to just dive into this and talk a little bit about how do we grow in faith when we are in the midst or facing conflicts in our lives. And so we look at Genesis chapter 13 right after, if you recall, Abram and Sarai and their household came. He was a trader. He traded, you know, sheep and gold and silver, and he was a wealthy man. And so God blessed them in that way. But they had gone to Egypt because of a famine. And God rescued them out of Abraham's white lie and protected Sarai, his wife, and brought them, and they were able to return. And so if you're reading in your Bibles and following in your devices or on the screen, we're going to read together chapter 13. And then we're also going to look at chapter 14 a little bit today. It says this, "So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him." Lot is his nephew. "Abram had become very wealthy with livestock and silver and gold. From the Negev, where he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' Now Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, 'Look around from where you are to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever, and I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you.' So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord." This is the reading of God's word this morning. On the journey of destiny, our character is shaped and revealed by the choices that we make. The question for us this morning is, will we walk by faith, trusting in His promises, or will we walk by sight, making decisions about what we feel are best given the appearances? Will we focus on our legacy, or will we focus on our lack, what we don't have? How do we grow in faith when we face life's conflicts? Here we see a case study of this. It's not uncommon, and we see, can imagine, in an agrarian culture, in a nomadic lifestyle, that the clans and families traveled from place to place to find food, to have grazing, and they met with other clans and tribes and traded, and this was kind of the lifestyle of survival. And Abram was on a journey of faith with his family, and he followed what God had said, but they had growing pains. They were flourishing. They were getting more wealthy. They were getting more livestock. And Lot, his nephew, had joined him in this journey, and he was also getting quite flourishing as well. And here entered, it's kind of a good problem to have, isn't it, right? You know, the space is getting too small for both family groupings, if you will. And so here we see a bit of this conflict, and this becomes a bit of a case study for how do we grow in faith, and what does Abraham do as an example of faith, and as an example of God's faithfulness, even where Abraham makes mistakes in his life. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at a couple ways. How do we grow in faith in the choices that we make, especially when we are faced with conflicts, where sometimes we do have to choose between two difficult choices. When we do run up against conflict, maybe for the sake of our survival, or with people, or different situations, how do we trust God in the choices that we make, in the guidance of these choices, to see how that journey of destiny can unfold. And so let's look at this today. Are you with me so far? We're going to look at this. And number one, we see here, how do we grow in faith, looking at this example of Abraham? I believe we need to exercise our faith by choosing when to assert our rights or relinquish our rights. One of the ways that we demonstrate faith in God's promises and in our lives is that we have to decide when are we asserting our rights and when do we choose to relinquish our rights. It's interesting here that Abraham was the one who came to Lot and said, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we're close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left." I think we understand here that, and many of you might understand, maybe in the places you work, maybe in family dynamics, we understand who has seniority, right? Who has seniority in this case? Abraham or Lot? Abraham. Abraham gets to choose, really, in this case. But you know what he does? He says, why don't you choose? If you go this way, I'll go this way. What an example of grace and character that Abram shows his nephew. That he wasn't though he could have asserted his rights, and says, like, he said, you know what? I'm going to trust God in whatever the outcome is. And I will let Lot. And this actually was now an opportunity for Lot to make a decision too. And so I believe that we, when the way we, one of the ways we grow in faith is in trusting God and getting guidance from God, is that we have to decide when to assert our rights and relinquish our rights. And in this case, Abram relinquished his rights. And we saw that God reassured him of his promises anyways later on. There may be cases where, by faith, we might need to assert rights. We must stand up for certain things. If it's a justice issue, if it's something that's really important, or it's to protect someone else, or whatever the case may be, there it can go both ways. The point being is we grow in faith through conflict by involving God in how we assert or relinquish rights. Abraham, as we mentioned, could have gone either way, was his right, but he offered Lot the choice. I don't know. I think maybe there's something to be said about those who are more veteran and elderly, and they have experience in life, and they're not clinging to certain ambitions that they once had. You know, maybe that's part of it. And so they just willingly, hey, you decide. I'm fine either way, right? There's a peace. There's a rest in the promises of God that leaves it up to others around them. You make your choice and I'll be happy with whatever it is. I think that shows grace and dignity and character. Where on the opposite side, sometimes we can slip into a mindset where we're grasping or grabbing or protecting our turf or rights, and we can actually wind up in some trouble, right? So there's a bit of a tension there and a bit of a balance. And we see this dynamic happening. And while Abraham relinquished his rights and said, hey, you go do this, it also made room for God to just bless him anyways. And we see this. Faith is demonstrated here not by striving in our own wisdom or strength, but by trusting God to work things out and paying attention to what he would have us do. You know what? Jesus is also an example of this too. We read about this in Philippians chapter 2, where it says, in your relationships, have the same mindset. Let this be in your mind as Christ Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he made himself a servant. What a profound way to say, Jesus, he left his heavenly glory to come down to reveal the Father, to die for us, to make a way of salvation. And he did that willingly. And this shows us how we can, on the journey of destiny, sometimes we're fighting with that. What do we take hold of? What do we let go of? Right? And here, Abraham demonstrates a great example of relinquishing rights. Lot, on the other hand, he went for it. And this is the second thing that we can learn as we grow in faith amid conflict. Because you're forced in conflict to make some choices. There's a dilemma there. And here, Lot, he chose something a little bit different. He made a common sense decision, right? Hey, he's giving me the choice. I'm going to choose what looks best, right? But herein lies the lesson. Lot says, Lot looked around, verse 10, looked around and saw that the whole plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east, and the two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. And of course, then we read, the people of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly. So here sets up the narrative of Lot. The conflict produced a need to make a choice. In the choice that Lot freely had, he chose the better land, but in choosing the better land, he was also choosing and was appealing to live near Sodom and pitched his tents. He set his eyes in that direction. So the second thing that we can learn about how do we grow in faith is that we must be cautious with the implications of our choices, right? We must be cautious about the implications of our choices. One choice might look right, seem right, have perceived clear good benefit, but in making that choice, you're also making other choices. You're giving up something else, perhaps. You're compromising in another way. And so with the choice to move his family towards Sodom, ignored the spiritual implications of that decision. And we read about how later on the outcomes of those decisions. Lot took advantage of the offer and he was enticed to live near Sodom. And in that, God blessed Abraham where he took the leftover choice. God knows everything, sees farther than we do, and it's better to trust in him in what we can than beyond with what we can see as good. I believe there's a proverb that says, there's a way that seems right to man, to people, but in the end it can lead to death. And so we see here that the lure of what appeals to our senses and the choices that are in there. This is not a new dynamic. It's from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. And we see here in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And so we see that phrase throughout. We see that with Achan, who took some of the spoils after Jericho. It was pleasing to the eye. We see this in the New Testament where James talks about temptation and our evil desires, the lust of the eyes in 1 John. That is a spiritual implication of our choices that we must be cautious about. Don't just go for something just because it has the appearance of good. Don't just make choices because it might have immediately good results, but ignoring the long-term spiritual implications of the choices that we make. And so Lot is an example of this. It was a slippery slope for Lot. And we see how later on, that whole region, and you read in Genesis chapter 14, how there was a battle among the kings and the tribes, and they had the alliances that happened. And it says that now, initially, Lot was pitching his tents near Sodom, but then later he was in Sodom, and he was him and his family were kidnapped in the spoils of war as prisoners of war, and then they were taken as a result. And this obviously was a negative consequence. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so there was some of that there. Now, here's where we get to another principle about growing in faith where there's conflict. So, is how Abraham responds. And that is to be courageous. Number three, to be courageous to fight for what matters. So, even when there are negative consequences to choices, like Lot. Lot was blessed because he had Uncle Abraham to fight for him. And man, that shouldn't be understated. Like that's, and Abraham also didn't have to do that, right? Lot made a bad choice. Let's just see him suffer. No, Lot was family. Lot was kin. Lot was still part of, and still could be included in the blessings that will flow. And so Abraham heard this news, and you read about it. I don't think we have it on the screen, but it says that Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive. He called out 318 trained men born in his household, and they went in pursuit of them and attacked and routed them and got back Lot and his family and his possessions together with women and the other people. And so Abraham, in that different kind of conflict, now it was war. Now it wasn't just internal family, logistical conflict about livestock and where they would settle and find their grazing. This was about fighting for their freedom and survival. And friends, this is an important lesson for us, that some things are worth fighting for. And even if it will cost you more, fighting for what matters comes at a price. And sometimes people are not willing to do it. And when we face life's conflicts, we are often choosing a higher value. And in this case, it was family. In this case, it was the dignity of life in spite of the spoils of war. And so he goes at his expense to rescue Lot. And we see a courageousness that comes up in his actions. It shows, again, character. The journey of destiny shapes and reveals our character. Are we going to walk by faith, trusting in God's promises, or by sight and by fear, perhaps? And so Abraham shows this. Number four today, what do we read about later? They come back. And in chapter 14, Abraham comes and meets the king of Sodom. They come out to meet him. And then also Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, verse 18 of chapter 14. And he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand, I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of the earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abraham rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and share, and the share that belongs to the men who went with me. To Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them have their share. What's going on here, and how does this show faith? Well, one here in this point is, I believe in the conflicts that we face in life, we need to keep first things first. And that is to offer God your first and your best as responsive worship for His faithfulness. And Abram, this is the first incident we see an example of tithing. And here we see this principle of Abram receives a blessing from Melchizedek, the priest and king of Salem. And with that blessing is that recognition that Abraham is serving God, and that it's recognition that God was protecting and watching over Abram, and God was faithful in the skirmish of the battle. And Abram responds to this blessing, to this reality, to this truth, by offering a tithe of what he had received in that, and then and gave that to Melchizedek as a way of worship to God. And so Abram recognized God's role in the victory, and he gave a tenth of his belongings. It's very interesting. Not only that, he saw the deceit from the king of Sodom and said, I don't also want to be subservient to you saying that you helped me, right? And so he was cautious about that. But the focus point here today is that Abram exercised faith in that conflict scenario by keeping God first and giving God his first and best of what he had received. In other words, Abram was not going into battle to get goods, to get personal gain. He went to battle to rescue his nephew, and that would serve as an example. And so, friends, in times of conflict, we need to pause and resolve in our hearts that we, whatever the case looks like, we are going to give our first and our best of what He's given us to God. Jesus, it says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus became and was a high priest, the high priest, the fulfillment of the old covenant into the new. He's the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. It's interesting. Melchizedek is a mysterious character. You don't really hear much about him except for here, and then in the Psalms, and then in Hebrews, attributing Jesus to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so, this is how we see Abraham in the midst of conflict and battle, pausing to recognize how God helps him, shows faith through tithing to the priest of God Most High, Melchizedek. This is way before the law, which had the ties to the tabernacle and the priesthood, and this is way before that, before that is even instituted in the Old Covenant. So sometimes, this is a lesson for us, whether it's tithing or giving of our finances, or doing something else in response to God's faithfulness. It's an act of worship. It's an act of gratitude. It's an act of recognition that our lives belong to Him, and He is our sole provider and protector above all. Sometimes we have the opportunity to be generous, and other times we might find it difficult to be generous. Abraham decides here that this would be the important thing to do. And God blessed him. And he became an example of what generosity looks like in the midst of it. So here we see in this story how there's different kinds of conflict. Conflict in our livelihood and our survival could be with people. It could be with situations. It could be in danger and battle where there's sacrifice involved. And the choices we make, let those choices be an act of faith in God, not an act of self-preservation, not an act of self-protection, but an act of entrusting our lives generously towards God, fighting for those that we love and for what matters, but also abstaining and being cautious about the spiritual implications of our choices. I'm going to invite the team to come up and as we prepare to respond this morning. I wonder what kind of tests of faith are you going through today and lately in the midst of some of the conflicts that you have? How might it look to make choices, the choices that you're making are founded and are based on not your own wisdom and strength, not your own possessions, if you will, but the choices that you're making is from a place recognizing how blessed you are in the Lord. Amen? Because God had promised Abram this blessing of legacy, he could rest in that promise and hold those things loosely and trust God with the outcome. What kind of conflicts are not worth fighting for and fighting about? And what are some things that are worth fighting for? In all these things, we make decisions of faith that will reveal our character. And if it reveals something about our character that needs the grace and the correction and the instruction of the Lord, then so be it. And it shapes our character to trust in God. Other times, it could reveal our character, showing us that in fact we are on the right track, that God is watching out for us, God is blessing us. I'm going to invite us to stand today. Perhaps we can sing the Child of God song. We can have that ready. It's no longer slaves. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Another way of putting it today would be saying that we are making choices out of a mindset that we have been blessed for legacy, not to be in lack. Not to make decisions out of a sense of lack, not about what we don't have, but making choices about what we do have and trusting God to bless it. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how this might sit with you, but if you have some choices to make in the dilemmas and conflicts you face, keep God first. Give God your best. Fight for what matters. Fight for those that you love. Be careful about the spiritual implications of decisions that on the appearance look good and seem right. Now, they might be good and be right, but at least you should be aware of the potential negative consequences And whatever you do, do it in faith, out of obedience to God. And so as we just worship, and if you have any needs, if you have any areas by which you are wanting to trust God in, if you have this desire to operate out of a legacy mindset, not out of a mindset of lack, to walk by faith, not just by sight. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe God is saying to you, you need to make a decision today. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me with your life? Are you going to trust me with this decision? I will be with you. The front is open. Invite our leaders to be available to pray with those who are here. And then we're going to close together in prayer afterwards.